This segment of the show is brought to you by Timberline Firearms and Training.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. Another really busy show. I have Congressman Eli Crane coming up in just a little bit. Couple things to talk about. I think one of them I want to hit on that just really hit today, and it wasn't even on my list in my show prep notes, but, well, it is immigration. I know Congressman Crane wants to talk about immigration, illegal immigration, and the flood that's coming across the border. But speaking of floods, you've got this, and let me pull it up here. It's an article from the New York Post. Thousands of migrants are flowing across the U.S. border in Arizona every day, literally through open floodgates that have made the Tucson Post the busiest point of illegal entry into the country. So now here in Arizona, the busiest point at which illegals are flooding in, and you should see these pictures here, is in the Tucson sector there, south of Tucson, not even an hour. They open these floodgates. Apparently this happened quite a few weeks ago, maybe even a couple months ago, and I'm not sure if Congressman Crane is aware of this, that they welded, you think that when it comes to the border, you'd be welding things shut. You'd be closing them up, securing the border. One of the few things the federal government should actually be doing is securing our borders. What they actually did is they welded, I think it was hundreds of floodgates. And I'm looking at this picture below, like a bridge where there's a wash. They've got these big floodgates wide open and welded open. And you're seeing just people. I'm watching this video. They're just walking through. They're laughing. They're talking. They're like, "Ooh, here we come. We're coming through the border." Backpacks and just heading on up into the U.S. They welded the gates open for these supposed floodgates, and illegal immigrants are just pouring on through. Unbelievable. It's like these people actually just hate us. I'm talking about the feds at this point, and just think so little of us and the people that actually live here. It's so frustrating to see every day. We will talk about this and much more with Congressman Eli Crane coming up here in just a little bit. The reason why I was getting him on originally was not just a border issue, though. It's the spending that's going on in Washington, D.C. I think it's at the point of actually no return when it comes to spending, and it's going to take some kind of national economic calamity to clean this thing out at this point, because, they're arguing over the crumbs, unfortunately. And by crumbs, I shouldn't even say that. We're talking $1.4 trillion or so that Congress actually, that's the part of the budget, the discretionary spending that they actually have some authority over. The rest of it, though, what's the federal budget? $6 trillion, $6.7 trillion, something like that this year. So they argue over $1.4 trillion. The rest of it's just on cruise control at this point, over $1 trillion for Social Security, $1 trillion for Medicare. The debt side of this, you've got the national debt at almost $33 trillion. The debt side of this now is going up as far as a payment. The interest payments on the debt, I think, are $700 billion now going forward, because interest rates have risen up so dramatically, so fast, because the Federal Reserve, remember transitory inflation, they pumped a bunch of money into the system. Then that caused massive inflation, which was the most predictable thing ever. We predicted it here on the show. I was telling you during the so-called transitory inflation that this is a bunch of BS, that when you spend, I think it was $9 trillion, when you create $9 trillion out of thin air through stimulus packages, through COVID, through all the hysterics with COVID, and you tell people to stay home, they're not manufacturing, not producing things, that you're going to have massive inflation. Well, transitory inflation became constant inflation, and we've transited to that new higher level. So the spending levels have gotten out of control. We were $4 trillion as a nation in the federal budget in 2019. Now, like I said, $6.7 trillion. So these folks, and I commend Eli Crane and members of the Freedom Caucus. He's going to be talking about some of the demands of the Freedom Caucus. But at this point, the system is so fundamentally broken and out of control with the spending that I don't see how we get out of this any time in my lifetime, to be quite honest with you. If I'm being fair and being honest and open with you, I don't see the solution with this other than massive inflation, more spending, massive price increases, massive devaluation in the dollar going forward, unless they're going to cut everything to the core. You think they're going to do that? They're going to cut the federal bureaucracy. They're going to cut all the bloat. And how much money have we spent to Ukraine? How much money are we spending around the world in different bases and, you know, military ventures and this and that? Do you think they're going to do any of that? I don't see that happening. I would put that, if I was a betting man in Vegas, as very, very, very low odds. So anyway, we'll break it down more with Congressman Eli Crane coming up here in just a little bit. Any comments you got, I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I do have Olivia coming on the program here in the second hour to share a mountain of comments that have come in, and we're going to do we haven't hit on Arizona in a while. I try to keep, you know, of course, where we live in front and center as best as we can, so stick around during the second hour. We'll give you an Arizona news roundup and hit on quite a few things that are happening in our great state. Well, did you see the headlines this morning after the great hurricane of 2023 in the Pacific? And I'm talking about Hurricane Hillary that turned into Tropical Storm Hillary that turned out to be pretty much a dud for most places, especially here in Arizona. Here's a headline from the New York Times. California evades catastrophic damage from rare tropical storm. Give me a break already. I'll get my sixth day in a row of strikes on various podcasts and so on and so forth, because I'll talk climate change here. These people came out and said that this was going to be a historic storm. I went through all this already, especially on yesterday's show. Historic storm. It was going to be just carnage, and just, it was going to be horrible. And this was all fueled by climate change. Of course, that didn't happen. And I told you this is nonsense, that this is historic and that this is climate change fueled. And then you had the FEMA administrator, this is on Politico, Hillary is going to produce really significant impacts in California, FEMA administrator warns. Then she went on to beg for more money. She said, I need more money because these storms are happening more frequently. And it's different than it was just even 5 to 10 years ago, just kind of paraphrasing what she said. I went back yesterday's program and showed you headlines from 10 years ago about all the historic storms we had 10 years ago. I could probably go back 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. We've been getting these storms for a long time, but not that often. Southern California hadn't seen a hurricane, still hasn't seen a hurricane, because this thing was a tropical storm when it hit. They haven't seen that in 84 years, I believe was the number off the top of my head. So it's not quite as frequent and catastrophic as they claimed. Anyway, it turned out to be somewhat of a dud for most people. I have a listener comment we'll get to later in the program, like I said, with Olivia. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com about from somebody who is either in San Diego or has family in San Diego that said, yeah, they were just pretty much watching it drizzle most of the time. Even the Arizona Republic had to admit that this thing was a dud. What rain in Phoenix? Hurricane Hillary was a letdown, was one of the headlines from today's paper. So once again, they get everybody worked up. They get everybody into this climate change hysterics, and they get everybody up against each other. They hype it in the corporate media. They hype it through their different, I don't know, minions or whatever you want to call them, through FEMA and whatever organization you want to put out there, and all for nothing. I'm not saying, look, a storm could hit at any time and it could be disastrous. That's life on planet Earth. Get over it. It's been happening for a long time, as once again we illustrated in the beginning of yesterday's show, which would be a great show to look back on. Watch the video on YouTube. Look up the Jeff Orvitz Show, O-R-A-V-I-T-S, and subscribe or listen to the podcast. Angela and I yesterday really went through some of the historic hysterics, some of the history of storms and how they've built this thing up way bigger, and once again tried to make everybody fear things all the time. All right, let's hit on a couple other things here before we get to Congressman Eli Crane. Remember, you got the Republican debate happening tomorrow. I think on the program yesterday, I mistakenly said it was today, Tuesday. Republican debate is actually Wednesday, August 23rd. It looks like 6 p.m. Arizona time on Fox News. Now, former President Trump is not going to this debate. I'd like your thoughts. I've seen some polling data on this. Polls are, what are polls worth, though, right? I want your thoughts on this. Should President Trump be attending this debate and future debates with the other GOP hopefuls? Or is this just a political move that, hey, he's so far ahead in the polls, 30, 40 points, depending on what you're looking at, that, hey, he's not going to attend. He shouldn't attend. Is he distracted by other things? And we'll get to Georgia here in a second and what's happening coming up Thursday with the indictment, his third indictment. Now, I want to hear from you on this one, and we'll share these throughout the rest of the week. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Should he attend this debate? Now, Biden has, it looks like Biden's not going to do any debates. Biden has challengers, the main one being Kennedy in the Democrat race for president. Should Biden be out there? He's saying that no, he's not. And if I was him, I wouldn't. Look what he did in Hawaii today. So you see this, he went to Hawaii. He said something really stupid comparing, and I don't have the exact phrasing in front of me, but he had some kind of house fire back a few years back in his kitchen. Kind of a minor thing. Fire department came, put it out. He was so concerned about his cat and his Corvette. And he said this today to these poor people in Maui that potentially there's 1,000 people dead. There's still people missing. He goes over there. He's so out of touch. He's just so not there. And he's talking about, you know, how he just barely escaped with his cat and his Corvette from some little kitchen fire that happened. This guy is just out of touch. And then there's pictures of him. It looks like he's just fallen asleep there. So, yeah, if I was him, if I was his advisors, I would do what they did back in 2020 and make sure you keep him in the basement, although I don't think that's going to fly. How can this guy even be even a contender at this point? It's unbelievable. So we'll see what happens if he debates anybody, if Trump gets in these debates. On the note of Trump, you've got coming up here on Thursday, he is going to be turning himself over for the indictment in Atlanta, his third. And right now they're saying, so the person who's in charge of the jail there, is it the sheriff's department or whatever, they're in charge of the jail, this infamous Georgia, Atlanta jail, where there's a bunch of gangbangers, gangsters, criminals, killers. This is a jail where supposedly someone got eaten alive by bugs in this place. This is a very, very, very bad place. So he's going to be going in there with the Secret Service to turn himself in, to be arrested. Are they going to mugshot him? If they do mugshot him, are they going to release those photos? Because you know where those photos wind up. By the next day, they probably already have something printed up. They don't even need the photos. They'll just AI it of him, you know, with the height thing behind him and all that, you know, the mugshot. Are they going to put him in handcuffs? What's going to happen? I haven't seen any indication at this point. Now, the person in charge of the jail there said, hey, I'm going to treat Trump like anybody else who comes in here unless I'm told otherwise. So let's see what happens with this hysterics that continues. Let's follow up on something I hit on yesterday before. Once again, we got Congressman Eli Crane coming up in just a little bit. I told you the COVID hysterics have been ramping up, and I'm seeing more and more reports of different places that are remasking up, that are going to COVID protocols, because you've got this EG.5 variant that they're saying is now dominant, which I don't know if we can believe anything they say anymore. This is another variant of COVID that's supposedly making its way around. And as you know, and again, I explained this in greater detail than I will today on yesterday's show, COVID is, we've got fall coming up here. So people are going to start closing up their windows before you know it, going inside. And whenever you get to fall, let's call it the cooties. They go around all the time. People get the flu. People get colds. People get COVID now. This is I hate to use the term that they coined, the new norm. The new norm is there's going to be COVID strains going around every year. So there's this push and this talk about restrictions, about mask mandates, about all the crap that they were doing before. Is it going to happen in a mainstream way? Is the TSA going to, and I've heard reports of this as well, as the TSA going to start saying, hey, if you get on a plane in a little tin can, you got to wear your mask for the next 3 to 5 hours, as if that would really help with COVID. The masks don't do anything. I mean, give me a break already with this stuff. But anyway, are they going to start pushing that? Now, yesterday there was a hospital that we talked about that is bringing back restrictions for visitors and doctors and guests, et cetera, et cetera. Now, Lionsgate, which is a film production company, they sent out some memorandum that's saying that they're going to have mask mandates in the office coming forward. Studio is asking some of its employees to mask up and self-test, according to the Hollywood Reporter. So we're going back to, seems like we're going right back to where we started with all this COVID hysterics. I hope not. I hope people will stand up this time and say, enough is enough. I'm not gonna mask up to do this. I'm not gonna mask up to go into this doctor's office. My wife found a new doctor because, you know, we were 2 years into COVID, and a doctor she was seeing was still requiring a mask. And you're like, you start to question these people you're seeing that, hey, if you're still requiring this, if you really think this is having an impact, do I really want you, you know, diagnosing me medically when clearly you're not getting it here on this mask that this doesn't work. So she found a new doctor. It's going to take people doing stuff like that. Hopefully this doesn't happen again, but I wanted to put you on alert to watch for and maybe report to me if anyone that you're dealing with business-wise and otherwise, if you're hearing rumors or actual, you know, postings that, hey, got to wear a mask now because COVID, because there's this variant going around. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Go ahead and send me any comments. I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right. If you're thinking about refinancing your home, do what I did. Do what me and Angela did. We called Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. Kim did an excellent job for us refinancing a multifamily property. I was very happy with what she did. And I've done a lot of refinances in the past. Here's the thing. She'll work with you every step of the way. Kim Dawson's with Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender. That's Nova Home Loans. They can make decisions like a bank, but because they're also a broker, they have access to all the best programs. Call Kim Dawson right now. She'll work on getting you a pre-approval letter, which is very important when you're going around shopping for a home. People really want to see that when they're selling places. Kim Dawson, 928-310-6458. That's Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. Don't forget to mention the Jeff Horvitz Show when you call her, because you can get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Kim Dawson, 928-310-6458, or go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, I want you to remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first. This is where Angela and I take our vehicles to get the windshield repaired and, if needed, and we've needed to do this a couple of times, get the windshield replaced. Once you get a windshield replaced at Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street in Flagstaff, you got lifetime chip repair. No appointment necessary. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Always remember to call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Okay, I'm going to cut this segment short. Normally I go a little bit longer. I want to come back, though, and allow more time with Congressman Eli Crane, because we've got a lot of ground to cover with him. Not only what I was just talking about a few minutes ago about the gates being welded open there in southern Arizona, and now Arizona being the number one access point for illegal immigration. I had to add that to the list, of course, but I want to get into what's going on with this appropriation bill in D.C., what the Freedom Caucus is fighting for certain things on the border and also on spending. But where are we at? This is so unsustainable, where we have over a $6 trillion federal budget now. Keep in mind, what is the gross domestic product? $24 trillion. I mean, we're spending like a quarter of the nation's productivity, economic activity on just the federal government. This doesn't include your local state, your school boards, your, you know, fire districts, your library districts, all of that other stuff. Something like half of the money that we're spending in this country now is government related. Totally unsustainable. But Congress only has discretion over so much of the actual spending now, because most of it is on cruise control. Talking Social Security, Medicare, other transfer payments, the interest on the national debt now, which is growing and growing. They maybe control maybe a third of the actual budget at this point, and I would question even that. So we're going to break all of that down with Congressman Eli Crane when we come back. And any comments you got, hey, I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. And please, if you're watching this on video, if you're listening to the podcast now, or if you want a way to, you know, catch the show more, catch some of our extras, please subscribe to the podcast and to the YouTube channel. Just look up Orvitz wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, O-R-A-V-I-T-S. I appreciate everybody who's doing that. Also, if you want to get a great set of blind shutters or shades. If you want to do what Angela and I did, we called the blind brothers and they did a great job. Great price. They came in and they installed them all. They took out the old ones. We got all new blinds in our home. We are very, very happy with the blind brothers. Go to theblindbrothers.com. That's theblindbrothers.com, or you can call them up. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Get up to half off of installation as well. I recommend you have them do the installation. 928-634-2423. That's the blind brothers at 928-634-2423. Coming back with Congressman Eli Crane. Hang tight.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Joining us is Congressman Eli Crane. Congressman, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to hear from you. This one just kind of hit late, and I don't know if you've had time to see this one yet, but the floodgates are literally open, according to a New York Post article, in southern Arizona, south of Tucson, Tucson sector. They've welded the gates open, tons of them, for floodwaters, apparently, and we're watching videos of people just coming through, and apparently Arizona is now the number one access. We're number one, Eli, number one access point for illegals coming into the country. I know you're holding out there on some budget issues to try to get some border security. It's out of control.
No, it is. And honestly, I hadn't seen that article, Jeff, but it really doesn't surprise me. I know many of your viewers and listeners probably saw the article earlier this week where they're actually taking the steel that the American taxpayers have paid for. It's stacked up on the border because Joe Biden didn't want to finish the border wall. And now they're selling it. I think they've sold like $300 million worth of steel that we've already paid for. They've auctioned it off. And so it doesn't surprise me at all, Jeff. I'm actually surprised that they didn't, instead of welding the doors open, I'm surprised they didn't cut the doors off and try and sell those on an auction too, because they clearly don't care about the fentanyl coming through, how many thousands of Americans it's killed, the MS-13 gang members, the individuals on the terror watch list, which I just saw a report saying that those encounters are up by 15%. And it's just unbelievable what's going on at the southern border.
And no end to sight in sight. I mean, we're trying to secure the Ukrainian borders before our border. And you've served our nation, and thank you for your service. But when you see what's going on in Ukraine and the money that just keeps going, do you guys in Congress, is there any control, or is it part of, are the Republicans still jumping on board and still shoveling money on this thing? Your thoughts on what's going on there?
Well, that's the problem, Jeff, and that's one of the most frustrating things in the world, is that our party is complicit in one more sellout of the American people, one more America Last agenda, and it's horrible to watch because, I get it, Jeff. None of us want to see Ukrainians get killed. I get that. Yeah. I feel the same way, nor do I want to see Russian aggression. That being said, it's like what we really need to be doing is pushing towards peace talks instead of spending more money that we don't have and escalating a war with one of the greatest nuclear powers on Earth. And it's like, when you think about that, Jeff, I think when most people think about, well, what if this did escalate and it turned into a nuclear war? I think a lot of people think that nukes start dropping in Europe, in Russia, in Ukraine, Poland, in that area. These guys have the capability to, if you push them too far, if you poke them too hard, they have the ability to push a button and send nuclear tipped ICBMs to every major US city, Miami, Chicago, New York, Phoenix, every major military installation. And you, unfortunately, Jeff, though I'm not saying that's the most likely thing to happen, you have to contingency plan that is what could happen when you continue to escalate this war with Russia.
And Putin's threatened. He said it. I mean, people say a lot of things, but he has said it multiple times over this conflict about nuclear confrontation.
No, absolutely. And to me, it just shows one more level of complete arrogance with our federal government. And I hate to say it, Jeff, on both sides of the aisle. It's on both sides of the aisle.
No, I agree with you 100%. And as someone who's fought battles to get folks elected, especially on the Republican side, who say all the right things, who keep telling us that they're going to make changes, and then they get there and nothing happens. It's so frustrating. You've got the budget right now you're dealing with. I can't even call it the budget. It's the appropriations bill. The Freedom Caucus, which you're a part of, is putting some strict contingencies, I guess we should say, on this, or demands for the, right. the appropriations bill. First of all, what is the appropriations bill? This is just part of the overall budget and spending, correct?
Yeah, so every Congress is supposed to pass 12 appropriations bills dealing with all sorts of different stuff. And we have till the end of the fiscal year to do it, which is September 30th. No, you know, once McCarthy caved and the Republican Uniparty voted along with 165 Democrats to raise the debt ceiling uncapped, to 2025, which is going to be at least another $4 trillion to the national debt. Then they came back and said, we'll take care of the spending problem in appropriations. None of us that really voted against it, most of us in the Freedom Caucus, didn't believe them. They're probably going to do what they always do. They're going to push a CR, continuing resolution, where they basically fund the government at the same level, and then they'll probably try another omnibus late in the year. And this is what continually happens, Jeff. And I know it's frustrating for the American people. I think it's so frustrating for them. They just tune out. They don't even pay attention anymore.
Yeah.
It's even more frustrating when you're there, you're fighting against it. And it seems like you're always in the minority and you don't have enough people to stop it.
Not even a minority. You've got, it's like 30 of you, maybe. You know, there's such a small amount that are actually standing up. I don't know the exact number, but such a small amount actually standing up. You've been there for, not a full term yet, obviously.
Right.
Is it as bad as you imagined? And is it, let's just stick to the spending side on this, because I think we're out of control. We had $4 trillion in government, federal spending. Government spending is a whole other thing, talking local, state, and all that. But $4 trillion was 2019. Now it's like 6.5, 6.7, whatever it is. I don't even know anymore. They're taking in $4 trillion in tax receipts. How do people actually think this can continue forever? Or am I naive and it can continue forever and there's this magic pot of money I'm unaware of? And is there anybody, especially, forget about the Democrats, but even on the Republican side, besides the few members of the Freedom Caucus, who actually take this seriously anymore?
You know, there are a couple members outside of the Freedom Caucus that do take this seriously. I think is commonly associated with the Freedom Caucus, who's actually going to be out in Arizona on September 8th. He's going to come out and campaign with myself and Congressman Biggs. And that's Congressman Matt Gaetz.
Okay.
He's not a part of the Freedom Caucus, but he takes this stuff seriously all the time, and he votes with us all the time. And then there's several others that aren't a part of the Freedom Caucus that understand we can't keep doing this, but again, it's not enough.
Yeah.
And to your point, I don't know. Sometimes I try and figure out. I think there's a couple buckets of why people continually do this. One, Jeff, I think that it's so easy to spend other people's money. Two, it's like when you're in this job, everybody and their brother is asking you to, do this for them, do this for me, do this for me, do this for me, and I'll scratch your back. And not enough people have the ability to say no. I'm not doing that. And then I'll face the consequences of, you trying to run somebody against me that will say yes. Mm. And so there's that going on. There's a lot, obviously a ton of corruption. But at the end of the day, there's not enough people, Jeff, that are willing to put the American people first, take the hard vote. And if they get sent home, that's okay. And I say it all the time, if the people of Congressional District 2 sent me home next year and said, "Hey, Eli, thanks, but no thanks. We want somebody else," my life might improve a little bit, actually. And I'm, it's like, and don't get me wrong, Jeff, I feel honored to do this job, but I'm okay with going home, because this isn't about me. This is about trying to turn this monstrosity around. And I got bad news, man. With the people that we have up there right now, I don't see that happening.
What do you think it'll take? I've spent more than, I've been doing this show 7 years, Eli, but yep. I've spent a lot of time before that even thinking, what does it take? Is it a starving of the money eventually? Is it some kind of financial calamity? Is it, what does it take to get our act together to stop with the nonsense?
You know, I listen to Dan Bongino a lot, Jeff, and, you know, he says all the time, people just haven't felt enough pain yet.
Yeah.
I think you see a microcosm of it in New York right now. Even their mayor, who used to welcome, you know, illegals into his state, said it was a sanctuary state, is now dealing with the fallout of that. And now he's actually being critical of the Biden administration. And so I think, unfortunately, I think some of the things that you brought up is probably what it's going to take. I think, you know, it might be complete financial collapse. It could be World War III, which we're pushing for right now in Ukraine. I mean, who knows? But this thing does not end well. And everybody with the brain knows that.
Yeah.
The American people know that they're not allowed to live their lives this way. They're not allowed to spend their finances this way. They're not allowed to borrow and spend money that they don't have. Business owners know it. But in the federal government, and I think it's because we've been the big dog for so long, you know, we think we can just continue to spend money that we don't have, and there will never be a day of reckoning.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but there is going to be a day of reckoning.
Yeah, we don't know how long it takes, but this is totally unsustainable in the long run. And I guess...
Hey, on that note, Jeff, on that note, right now in South Africa, the Durban Accords, the BRICS nations are meeting today and this week.
Oh,
and
you're so right. August. Yeah. Today is August 22nd. Yes, if you're listening to the podcast, it's Tuesday. I've been talking about this for weeks, and then the day came and I forgot about it. They're meeting to talk about possibly a BRICS currency. Correct.
Yep. It's backed by gold. You know, I was talking to Steve Bannon about it just this week, and he was telling me, One of the things that is kind of throwing a little hiccup in what they're trying to do is the fact that the Chinese economy is in so much trouble right now.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you right now, these other countries realize they've been watching us like we watch them, and they know that our system, our currency is teetering, and so they don't want to tie themselves to it. And it's not just that; they also don't like how we throw our weight around the world, like sending foreign aid over to some, you know, to some country, but then saying, hey, if you're going to accept this aid, you have to accept, you have to get on board with a lot of our backward, you know, culture. And a lot countries are just, I think they're done with it, and they're looking for an alternative, and that's going to be massively problematic. But it might take something like that for lawmakers and the American people that send these lawmakers up there to wake up and realize that we can't do this anymore.
Yeah, people don't realize the exorbitant privilege that the U.S. has because of the dollar status, the reserve currency status that we have here in the nation, and the quality of life it actually brings. Okay, Eli, you've put out, and the Freedom Caucus have put out certain, red lines that you're like, hey, on this spending, we need the border secured. We need to take, what about Ukraine? Things like that. I think you've put certain things in there. Is there enough for you? Because I assume that the Republicans right now don't have the support of the Democrats. So they kind of need every vote. Do you have some weight there to make a difference? Do you think there's hope there?
I would say there is hope, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah.
So, and the reason I say that, if we don't have any Democrat votes, then we could put a halt to it. The problem is just like you saw in the debt ceiling, is that when things have to get passed, the uniparty always has a way of working together. Just like in that debt ceiling bill, you know, at least $4 trillion extra dollars onto our national debt, you know, till 2025. You had 165 Democrats vote for it, and you had 149 Republicans vote for it. And I think there were 70 Republicans that tried to stop it. So we actually had a lot more, almost double the size of the Freedom Caucus jumped in to try and stop that, but we weren't able to. And like I said, this is one thing that I've noticed, Jeff, is that, you know, when it's something that needs to keep the swamp moving, so everybody keep getting paid out on this national, even global grift, the uniparty has a way of figuring out how to get things done. So I hope the Democrats, you know, are completely opposed to it. I hope there's no deal that's worked out so that we can stop it. Because if no Democrats vote for it, if they oppose it, then we can stop it.
Yeah.
But
no,
I think
you're spot on, though. In my observations, I'm not drenched in the swamp like you are there, being stuck there in D.C. But that's what happens every time: is they get enough votes because they don't raise the debt ceiling now; they just totally eliminate the debt ceiling. They get this stuff done at the last minute. Usually over it'll probably be over Labor Day weekend or something. It's usually over a holiday, and they get it done.
Yeah, we're already being told, hey, don't plan anything for Christmas because right before Christmas, they'll try and flop something on us and say, hey, if you want to go home, you guys got to vote for this. So
yeah,
that's another wonderful thing about this job. I know it sounds like I'm complaining and frustrated. I am frustrated, but I'm just giving you guys I'm trying to put you in the room.
You got to be straight with people, and that's what I like about you, Eli, because the situation is quite dire. And I don't think people take that seriously, or they do. And, you know, there's that viral song from Oliver Anthony that's been hitting all over the place. That's number one on iTunes that people know. He has a line in there. They know that they know. People know, but people feel helpless as to what to do, because maybe it is a helpless situation until something drastic happens. And then all of a sudden, look, one thing I can say that is encouraging about America and our history, Eli, is when the you know what hits the fan, people do come together. I still think we have that in us. I hope it hasn't been beaten out, but I still think that's there. But it usually takes a dire situation.
No, you're right. And one of the last ones that, you know, had a huge impact on my life was 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it only took 19 individuals to pull that off, at least that were doing the actual execution of it. Who knows how many were, you know, assisting them behind the scenes. But when you see, you know, the hundreds of folks that are being encountered at our southern border, you know, just in the last, you know, year, that are on the terror watch list, and you know that there's over a million folks that they consider gotaways that haven't been encountered, have not been caught. You start asking yourself, how many of those were on the terror watch list?
Yeah.
And is that what it's going to take for people to quit playing politics and to actually secure the border, to secure these communities, to secure our states so that our kids quit dying from fentanyl and all these other things that we know is coming over the southern border? I mean, it's just, and you were so spot on to bring that guy, what's his name, Oliver Anthony or something?
Yeah.
His song, like, why did that go so viral? Yep. I mean, yeah, it was, I mean, the guy's got a good voice. It went so, but it went so viral, Jeff, because that's what everybody's thinking. I mean, he put into music what's on everybody's mind and in their heart and in their thoughts. And it's just, you know, it's so sad.
It hit.
We're at this spot in a country. And, you know, I was talking to another individual the other day, Jeff, and they were, you know, we were contemplating whether there's folks, a lot of folks up there that think that this thing is going down in flames. So they're trying to get as much off of it as they possibly can before it crashes. That could be another, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if some people are looking at it that way as well. Hey, if this thing is going to tank and collapse, I want to get mine before it's done and gone. No, I think there's some of that attitude up there as well.
I think you're right on that. All right, Congressman Crane, hey, I appreciate your straightforwardness and keep fighting up there. I know it's tough. I can't even imagine when you're in Arizona and you said Gates was coming out, Congressman Gates. I'd love to get maybe the two of you on the program, maybe reach out and we'll chat about what's going on again.
Yes, sir. We'll try and make that happen.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right.
And thank you to your audience.
Absolutely. Thank you. Be safe out there. We'll talk with you soon. All right, folks, I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Send in your email comments in the second hour of the program. Olivia's dropping by. We've got some Arizona news roundup items, which really have some national implications at this point. So I hope you'll stick around for that. Plus your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. It is pet month at our good friends at ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Nothing but the best at Zero Res. August is pet month. We love our pets. I know you love your pets as well, but they can definitely create some situations of odor. Well, I want you to take advantage in August this month of 20% off if you use the promo code Puppy Love, P-U-P-P-Y Love, all one word, capital Puppy Love. Go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com, enter that in, get 20% off on pet-related services. We're talking about spot remover, pet odor remover, spot treatments, things like that. Talk to them at Zero Res. They're the experts at this, and they'll take care of that. Sometimes it goes a little deeper, and you got to get in there, and you know what I mean when you have pets. You can also call them and talk to them, Zero Res Northern Arizona, 928-378. They're happy to talk to you. 928-378-8888. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. 928-378-8888. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, you just heard me talking with Congressman Eli Crane about the fiscal condition of the United States. Isn't it a good time just to educate yourself when it comes to physical gold and silver? I've been doing that for decades. I don't tell you how to invest, but why don't you at least get the free investor's kit from Desert Gold Exchange? Find out more about gold and silver. And when you call them, mention the Jeff Horovitz Show. Justin and his family-run company, Desert Gold Exchange, they're more than happy to send you the free investor's kit. I'm going to give you the number. I think it's a good time to give them a call. Desert Gold Exchange, they keep their overhead low. They pass the savings on to you and get more physical gold and silver delivered. They have some of the best pricing out there, some of the lowest fees and commissions. Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. 888-852-4343. All right, next hour, I'm going to get to some of your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those in. Olivia will be by. Going to hit on some Arizona items, including more on the open floodgates in southern Arizona that illegals are streaming through. I got some lawsuits. I've got accidents. I got near misses when it comes to planes and much more. Stick around. A lot more to come. And don't forget to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. I appreciate everyone doing that. Back in just a few minutes.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
You know, it is a beautiful time of year to take just a nice 30-minute drive from Flagstaff West onto I-40 to Williams. And why don't you pop in and say hi to former Mayor John Moore at Miss Kitty Steakhouse in downtown Williams on Route 66. Miss Kitty Steakhouse features a huge variety of steaks. I absolutely love their steaks there. Every time I go out to Williams, I stop by Miss Kitty Steakhouse. I've also got a great selection, great menu of poultry and fish. And they're open from Monday. Oh, they're open every day of the week from Monday through Sunday from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also, don't forget to check out Miss Kitty's Steakhouse breakfast menu. First class breakfast between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. all throughout the week as well. For more information, you can go to MissKittySteakhouse.com. That's MissKittySteakhouse.com on those busy Friday and Saturday nights when everybody's going out to see Old Town Williams right there on Route 66. Why don't you call for a reservation at 928-433-5889. That's Miss Kitty's Steakhouse in Williams on Route 66. This hour of the show is brought to you by Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. Olivia finally joins me. Didn't do it yesterday.
I was going to come yesterday. I told you I wanted to. You agreed. You asked me to come. It was this whole thing.
I know. And then nothing.
I get home and...
Nothing.
Nope.
Yeah. Sorry about that. You know, I can't remember everyone's schedule.
Obviously. You can't remember your own schedule.
I know. It's getting to that point. Thank you. I did remember to connect with Congressman Eli Crane last hour. I hope all of you were able to catch that. If not, we're going to have it podcast and video here in just a little bit. That's why you should subscribe to the YouTube channel and also to the podcast. Look up Horovitz, O-R-A-V-I-T-S, O-R-A-V-I-T-S, and subscribe and give us a good comment. We appreciate all of that. I'm looking at this picture. I'm not going to put it in the video here because it's somebody else's picture, but this accident, this Mark Howitt sent this. Mark Howitt will be with us on the program tomorrow, but a fatal crash that blocked I-40 eastbound yesterday morning. That would have been Monday morning. I don't know what happened, but it's, you saw the picture, like a semi.
I heard about it. I just heard that it was like crushed completely. Yeah. One of the cars
rolled over,
like pancaked.
It looks like it's like a little RV or something, I guess. And unfortunately, I don't know how many people were in there, but person was died last I checked. And then the semi truck was like flipped over on I-40 eastbound, completely blocking the lanes. And it's in an area where there's hills on both sides, so it's like dug out, so you can't even get. You couldn't even get around or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, well, you wouldn't remember because yesterday we met up with Isabel in the morning, and she's like, okay, I'm heading over. We're gonna meet up. And we're like waiting. And she was delayed about, I think, a half hour. She had to get off at another exit and then, come through town and all that. So what Mark wanted to do, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, is always being prepared. Because if you got an accident like this, fortunately, Isabel was able to get off the highway pretty quick. But we've heard about this happening in snowstorms and storms. And you know how the climate change zealots and radicals and fanatics are saying the world's about to end.
Right. And you don't want the heat to like come in your window because the heat is, what is it, evil? And
melting.
We need to like declare war,
yes,
on it.
We're at war with heat. But no, more practically, if you're out and especially in winter and you just don't have enough gas, you're running it dry. Maybe you're running dry because gas prices are going back up and inflation's so bad and people don't have the extra money. But it's a good reason why I keep Mark Howitt, keep it at least half full all the time. Because you don't know when there's going to be an emergency. Look at the poor folks in all over the world. Look at what happened in Maui, although that wouldn't have helped in the situation. Maybe it would have. Imagine if you didn't have gas and you couldn't get out. So many people mm-hmm. died there tragically. But how many times have we heard about something where people are stuck on the freeways? Imagine the Teslas and stuff, if they stopped working, or the batteries. We got Bruce outside.
I know.
He's working on – he's had his Tesla out there for a week.
Yeah, or, if he was like,
yeah, it was a week today.
Somewhere like
he went to
that
start,
would
he,
not be pretty.
He went to fire it up, the Tesla, and it just like the little battery died that functions all the other systems, and he still can't get the thing working. He had a guy from Tesla out in front of the studio here still trying to move the old Tesla, and I guess it's gonna have to get towed down to Phoenix because that's the closest Tesla dealership.
Here.
Yeah, so be prepared. I think that's always wise advice. I appreciate that, Mark. We're going to get to some comments in just a second. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com and Arizona News Roundup as well. To wrap up a couple things from last hour, the border wall floodgates, and I touched on this with Congressman Eli Crane, the border wall floodgates are literally welded open in southern Arizona. I'm not making this up. This is an article from the New York Post. There's these metal gates in, like the washes in the desert and stuff. And, we were supposed to have, what was that, the remnants of Hurricane Hillary. Hillary Clinton was ripping through Arizona, right? And it didn't really rip through, though. It was a big dud, is what that thing was. And remember,
I know we didn't get any rain. Yeah, I mean, we saw some lightning last night, and there was a storm somewhere, but
that was some big lightning. That looked like mm-hmm. War of the Worlds lightning, like when they're coming down.
It really did.
That was crazy.
A continuous, like out towards Winslow. It just looked like the sun was up over there because it was just continuous lightning.
Did any of you get hit with that? Because from where we were looking, it looked like it was out towards like Winslow or somewhere, or Holbrook.
It did,
and it was just like. Just flash, flash, flash. I thought there was like cops outside or something. Maybe like they were towing away Bruce's Tesla.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we couldn't hear it.
We couldn't hear the thunder, so
it was far. It looked close, though.
So anyway, this wasn't because of Hurricane Hillary Clinton. This was, you got to stop with that. Poor Hillary, she's, ironing her pantsuits. Anyway, this wasn't because of Hurricane Hillary that turned out to be quite the dud after they basically said we should all be prepared to, this is the end of the world. This is climate change. This is what we can expect. More frequent storms. Give us more money. That kind of thing. The FEMA director was saying that. This has been happening, apparently, according to this New York Post article. These floodgates in southern Arizona. Here's New York Post. Open floodgates at Arizona border allow thousands of migrants to walk into the country. It's an article by Marianne Martinez and George Fitzgibbon. The door to America is wide open. Thousands of migrants are flowing across the U.S. in Arizona every day, literally through open floodgates that have made the Tucson Post the busiest point of illegal entry into the country, the Post has learned. U.S. officials have inexplicably welded open 114 massive gates along the Arizona border to allow water to flow freely during the annual monsoon season and for the migration of an endangered species of antelope, officials said. You believe this? I mean, we're in the middle of a border crisis, and these
why
people...
Why have a border in the first place?
Well, yeah, why,
in fact, why don't we send some cars down there, pick them up, and bring them?
Yeah, might as well just start a... That's a good idea. Just start a bus system. Leave the gates closed and just say,
well,
hey, just come on
next.
Through. Yeah, that will be nice. But imagine that 114, so they're just opening it up for the monsoon season, so they weld them shut. They're going to go back and cut them closed. Monsoon season ends in a few weeks, maybe a month, usually beginning of September typically ends. You really believe that they're going to go down and grind out 114 welds that they did to keep these things open? So yeah, they're just, I have pictures of this.
It's going to be, oh, we're waiting for next monsoon season.
Yeah, you should see, look this article up. I can't show the pictures in a video, but people just flooding through, videos flooding through left and right, people with backpacks. I'll put it on the screen here, Olivia, so you can see it. I mean, not even like rushing or, you know, let's run.
Just rolling, taking
covert,
your time.
Just take your time coming across the border. Yep, unbelievable. So there you go. Meanwhile, another thing that's happening is the Trump border wall. You know, when Trump was going to build the border and all that, so they had all the material down on the southern border. Apparently, that is being auctioned off. The remnants of that wall, the material and stuff, has been auctioned off to some company or somebody has done that. They don't even hide that they're trying to protect the border anymore. They literally are welding the border open, the floodgates. The floodgates are literally wide open. And any attempt to build the wall is out the window, and they're just selling the material off, auctioning the material off. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they really need to stick some giant signs up too, like, enter illegally here.
Yeah,
flashing in neon colors.
Yeah, they should probably pave it through those.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Open points there. Set up a...
You know,
you might as well go make some money, set up a vendor.
Wrecked, but we could pave that.
Selling lemonade as people are coming in and stuff.
Free lemonade.
Well, yeah, why would you? You're right. I'm so naive. Why would you sell something when you just, they get it for free? We would have to buy it as American citizens, but hand it out. Yeah. So anyway,
double the price.
How long will Americans put up with it? You tell me. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Love to hear from you. All right, let's get to our first comment here. Olivia, what do you got? talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Keep those coming.
From David, love your show. You are on target 99.9% of the time. When I need my information about what's going on in the Verde Valley and Flagstaff area, I rely on you. Thank you and your whole family. You all do a great job.
Well, thank you. I don't know if we have any information for the Verde Valley right now. There was something in Camp Verde. I'm a little unclear on there's something going on Wednesday at regarding the library and the material that they're putting in some of the books or something.
For children.
Yeah, they're having, I'll try to decide. Since you brought up Verde Valley, I feel bad if we don't hit on some of these things. I think this is Concerned Citizens of the Verde Valley meeting tomorrow. Protect Camp Verde children, location change, 5:30 p.m. Camp Verde Unified School, multi-use complex, 280 Camp Lincoln Road in Camp Verde. I guess it has to do with books that are appearing in the public library down there. They got a nice, have you been to that one? That's a nice public library in Camp
Verde. Only a few times,
yeah,
really.
All the river
one, there's
there.
Like a bearded dragon, but.
Well, this is like a bearded lady with exposed top parts. We'll go with that. Yeah. It's all good. So if you're concerned about that, and I'm sorry, Olivia, are you concerned about that and what your children are viewing? I don't know much about it. I'll try to get more information for you by tomorrow. Thanks, Dave.
Well,
talk with
it's probably
Jeff.
Probably nicer from the outside then.
It's probably, it could be. It's a nice library. I'm glad they built it out of stone. It's kind of a flood area right there by the Verde River. Mm-hmm. Nice spot there. We've launched a couple times there to go on down to Verde.
Yeah, down the kayaks.
Yeah, that's good. All right, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Give me another one.
Hi, Jeff. As a San Diego native whose parents still live in my childhood home and someone who has lots and lots of friends and connections in San Diego, I thought that you would find this observation amusing. The day of the hurricane, my social media was filled with one of two perspectives, and it went hand in hand with the COVID reaction from these same people 3 years ago. There were the people posting panicked updates, prepping meals before the power went out. It didn't. And ominously speaking of the dark sky. And then there were the people posting videos of their quiet backyards, the trees not even blowing, the drizzle falling quite peacefully onto their gardens, the rare chance to walk the dogs in the rain. The news found the one spot that had some flooding, and guess what? That area floods every time that they get any amount of measurable rainfall. Unless you were watching the television, nothing was actually happening. I'll let you guess which of these folks carried on with life as normal 3 years ago, and which ones were triple-masked in their basements. Nicola.
Thank you, Nicola. Yeah, it's just, it's like, remember the guy and like the weather, he was out in front of the hurricane a couple years ago, and he's leaning into it. Do you remember seeing this video?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
He's like, as if the wind is like blowing him away.
He's like this and leaning into it, and it's just,
and then we just see some people,
and then some people
just
walk by and flip flops. Yeah, totally staged.
Exactly. They're like heading down to the beach.
These people, most, I'm not saying all weather people. Don't get me wrong. I try, Olivia. I don't know if I succeed, but try not to generalize. But I know I do. I'm only human, right? Most of these people, they're just trying to get attention and move on up the old ladder, whether it be in the corporate media or the different departments and divisions within the governments. You know, if you're in FEMA, well, you're if you're in some kind of managerial, even middle managerial role in these bureaucrats, you know, bureaucratic agencies, your hope is hopefully move up far enough up the chain. You're always getting up the chain, right? So you want to build your empire. You want to add, you know, money to the pot. It's all about the money. Yeah, you know, the FEMA director. I told you about this yesterday too. She came out. FEMA, whatever, administrator, whatever they call it, Deanne Criswell, and touted how, you know, Tropical Storm Hillary, it's just going to be the worst. It's just going to be horrible. Here's the Politico. Hillary will produce really significant impacts in California, FEMA administrator warns. And then she goes on to beg for money. We need more money because these storms are more frequent than just a couple years ago, just 5 or 10 years ago. Let me go back to yesterday's notes. I mean, this is what these people say. And then when it doesn't happen, there's no accountability. Much more intense storm, she's saying, and that it's just going to be the worst ever, every time. That's what I think Nicola was trying to get across.
In all of history. Every storm.
In all history, yeah.
Greater than the last, apparently.
Exactly. And they go on to say how it's always climate change, so we have to put more money into it. So either they can disaster relief things or fight climate change, this battle that could never be won. But yeah, she was asking for a ton more money so that they can fight.
They're probably just in a competition for like who can say the words climate change in their like article the most. Yeah.
It's like a federal drinking game that I'm unaware of. If you say climate change, you get a bonus. It's like we should check the federal, if we could decipher the federal record somehow. Like,
$100 climate change.
Every time you say climate change when you're talking to the media, you get a $100 bonus. I don't know. But no, here's the headline I told you about last hour. California evades catastrophic damage from rare tropical storm. What? No, they evaded all the hype. There was nothing
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
There was nothing there. And then in one way, they're saying, these are happening more frequently. This is getting crazier, right? They're getting more intense, the storms, right? But then in another sentence.
So intense.
Yeah. In another sentence, another headline, it's a rare tropical storm. Well, which is it? I think it's rare because the last one was like 84 years or something, or the 90s. I think in fairness, there was a tropical storm in the 90s that hit San Diego. I could be wrong on that, but the last hurricane was like Adolf Hitler was in power and he was just invaded Poland. You know, that's the last time they got it. That's
like
how rare these things are.
They're trying to prove like five different points at once that don't go together. And they just need to like choose something and stick with it. I mean, never mind the fact that it's probably not correct either way, but like.
Yes, at least stick with the lie.
All of those in there, like just choose one.
Yeah, at least stick with the narrative, right? I mean, at least do that. That would help. All right. I love your thoughts. Here's the advice I want to give all of you out there. Everybody. Young, old, climate change. Man, look, okay, let me back up. Climate change is happening. The climate's always changing. I went through a bunch of history of it in the beginning of yesterday's show.
Yeah, not necessarily a bad thing all the time.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes things, I told you yesterday about the intense hurricanes that the northeast of the U.S., that they think that it got during, since like the fall of the Roman Empire to like the 1500s. they looked at sediment and all this, and they're saying this used to get pounded. So this has all happened before. So it'll change again. The difference is now so many people live in these areas, and now we have all this federal and state, all these bureaucracies that anytime something happens, it's the end of the world. So they have to move in. And there's more people living in these areas too. So the chance of more people getting killed than in the past is growing, because look, we live here in Flagstaff and we've got probably too many trees on our lot. And we live in a dangerous forest fire prone area.
It's all about saving the trees, but
I like the trees, but
I'm
aware that there could be a catastrophic fire where we live. But since we're here, if that happens, they're going to blame it on climate change. Whereas there could have been a fire even if no people were here. And my point is they keep making it worse. My advice to you is double check everything. When they say it's the worst in history, they haven't disappeared this yet, although they may soon. You can Google like what happened 10 years ago, you know.
Yeah, it's not exactly like the news spread fast back then.
Yeah, you could. That's what I did, because she said that these storms are worse than anything we've seen even 5 to 10 years ago. So I did big storms of 2013. Well, go back to 2003, go back to 1993. You're going to find a lot of stuff out there that really disproves what they're saying and shows that they're not even doing a Google search, these people, before they put this. They keep repeating the narrative and the lie. All right, your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Get those in. Love to hear from you. Hey, if you want to sell your home right now, it's a great time to call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. Look, she's done a great job for so many people throughout Arizona, and quite frankly, people who come in looking for a home too. There's a lot of people that have come in from out of state. She's been able to help so many people. She's got a team around her that just knows how to do this stuff, knows how to market. She was on the program on Friday talking about how she puts so much into it, including staging the pictures, you know, bringing in furniture and this and that. We had a great show on Friday with her. You should check that out. When to take the pictures, drones, you know, they're bringing drones, they're flying up and stuff, virtual tours. Yeah, she was kind of disappointed in how I take my pictures for real estate. I just like snap a quick one on my phone.
I know.
And I tell people, yeah, that's what you get. She's in a little different market than me. Hey, if you want to sell your home in Flagstaff or surrounding areas, Kelly Broaddus is going to be able to help you out. Give her a call right now, 888-446-5602. 888-446-5602, or go to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
There is always something special on Sportsman's Bar and Grill's $4 menu. Today's no exception. Go on over there. Remember, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they've got something you can get for $4. In fact, they've got stuff on there all the time, soups included. It's kind of been cooler out lately. I love getting their pozole. Great job on that. Fridays, they've got clam chowder. Sportsman's Bar and Grill has been voted the best sports bar in Flagstaff many, many years in a row. All the TVs for your sports action, usually some great music playing as well. Great drink specials as well. They make sure that you get great food at a great price. Sportsman's Bar and Grill. You might even see my family there. We go there quite a bit for a great meal and a good time. Sportsman's Bar and Grill, just north of downtown Flagstaff, right there in the Bashas Shopping Center. Stop on by, get some great food at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. How was your commute to school morning and afternoon?
It was normal. I usually don't even remember the ride because I do it every day. So
no big hurdles to get over, like 1,000-foot drops,
life or death situation,
anything like that. No, I'm talking about these kids in Pakistan. Is it Pakistan?
Yeah. So I have a headline: All 8 people who are trapped in a dangling cable car in Pakistan have been rescued. It's NPR. So I have a quote. Villagers frequently use cable cars to get around Pakistan's mountainous regions, but the cars are often poorly maintained, and every year people die or are injured while traveling in them.
Wow.
So there were 6 children between the ages of 11 and 15 and 2 adults who were riding one of these on their way to school, and while traveling, one of the cables snapped.
Oof.
And so they're just left dangling above like a canyon. that's like hundreds of feet deep for 6 hours.
Oof.
And there's like really bad wind, so they can't get helicopters up there to rescue them. So they have to like, on the remaining cable, they have to like string harnesses and get people up there to like strap people into the harnesses and bring them back down. And the whole thing's risky. I mean, there's lots of wind.
They brought,
if one cable
they,
snap, the other one can.
I heard they brought an helicopter in, didn't they? And
they did, yeah. But it was like so windy that that was like really dangerous.
Huh. Wow.
For, like, the cable car and the helicopter.
Pakistani cable car over a canyon. That, to me, just sounds sketchy to begin with. I'm glad. So, did they get all the kids out?
Yeah, they did.
They did. Well, kudos to the folks that were able to do the rescue. I mean, could you imagine hanging, dangling?
I know.
I've always thought, we've gone on a few sketchy bridges. Like pedestrian.
The swinging
bridges. Yeah, yeah. Where was that?
Like, Hawaii.
Oh, you're right. That was in Hawaii. That was on Kauai. I can't remember the town, but there's some river there. And, that was sketchy. It was like some metal cables and like a wood, kind of like Indiana Jones. And they're fighting in the second one there.
Exactly.
It's like, it starts falling and they had actually done some repair work. And I was like, oof, I thought I was in Pakistan or something.
We've definitely,
sketchy.
Done a couple others like that. Yeah. Though, over like sketchy.
Idaho and things like that. Uh-huh. I think they were a little more stable though. Well, I'm glad the kids got out. That's good. I heard there was also a bus accident back east. I was listening to, I heard one of the news spots. Unfortunately, someone got ejected last I checked. It was like the first day of school. And I guess the bus driver was trying to swerve. I think, I don't want to cite where it was because I'm doing this by memory. But the bus driver tried to swerve because there was an oncoming. Somebody went over that center line, oncoming SUV, and the bus rolled over. And, you know, a lot of these buses, I don't know if they're changing, but a lot of them still don't even have seatbelts.
It's so weird.
It is weird because
it's like, if you have to have seatbelts and you're driving a bunch of kids every day, then wouldn't that be the one thing that you
just
definitely want?
It just seems like that would be the way to go.
A disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, and disasters do happen. We hear from the government officials all the time about, I mean, I get flood warnings, thunder rolling out there right now. I get warnings of imminent death on things that probably are never going to happen, flood this, lightning this, you know, climate change this, and the other thing.
Else.
And something, this is what aggravates me with these activists out there or these, and a lot of these bureaucrats and kind of nanny staters, is they do things that really don't make sense and don't make a difference. Like when you talk about pollution and climate change and this and that, I'm like, well, where's the local effort to, you know, pick up some trash or do that? And I know people do that, don't get me wrong, but their big push is, you know, we're going to do this big thing and you're not going to have a good dishwasher anymore. We're going to save the planet. But hey, what about that trash bag out there?
The
you know,
people that
somebody
actually
else
do
up.
Useful stuff are few and far
yeah,
between.
Yeah. Or during COVID. Remember during COVID? Stay at home. I remember, never forget, Republican Governor Ducey in Arizona. Stay at home and watch Netflix. Meanwhile, you've got people who got COVID who did feel the most detrimental effects who were overweight. And we have a country that's really out of shape. It should have been like, instead of saying, go inside in your dark house with all the windows closed, sit there watching Netflix, and I'll steal a line from Oliver Anthony, eating, what are those things called? Fudge rounds? I don't even know what that is. Apparently, that's like one of those little Debbie treats. So basically, ooh. Yeah, stay, don't get in shape. You know, don't go outside and be outside without a mask in the sunshine, getting in shape, you know, running or doing this.
You know, clearly that's not going to help.
I mean, they do. They seem to do the it seems like a lot of times if you do the opposite of what they're saying, you'll probably be safer and better off. Make your own decision, though. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. But seatbelts on a bus, where I was going with that, Olivia, is it seems like something simple to do, and maybe the new buses have them, but we have $113 billion, which we don't. We were talking about this with Congressman Eli Crane last hour. We have $113 billion to send to Ukraine. Surely we could retrofit the buses with seatbelts. And maybe that bus had seatbelts. I don't know all the details, but I know a lot of school buses don't have seatbelts.
I've never ridden in a... Yeah. I mean, I haven't ridden the bus
a lot
much,
of buses, yeah.
But I've never ridden in like a regular old school bus with a seatbelt.
Yeah.
In fact, I rode in one where the bus driver let us sit on top of the seats and
yeah.
do flips in between the aisles.
Oh,
so.
Man, don't even tell me about that. Ugh. All right. Hey, I want you to get properly trained when it comes to firearms. And a great way to do that is to head on out to the best place in Northern Arizona. And that's Timberline Firearms and Training, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. They've got a ton of training courses, but you better call quick because they book up really quick, including Carry Concealed. That one books up really quick. They got the free course every month to bleed, which Olivia and I took and learned a whole lot. We probably should do a refresher. Call up Timberline. They'll get you booked in and you can take, first time at firearms, something in the middle, or if you're expert level, they got something for you. 928-526-7900. 928-526-7900. Don't forget, coming up on Thursday, and every Thursday's Ladies Day as well. $11 gets you range time plus, includes a gun rental. That's a great deal. You just got to buy the ammunition. Also, if you're out there shooting here this month, 1 hour, normally you buy an hour of range time. Now, when you buy an hour, you can stay as long as you want that day, of course, and spend a couple hours fine-tuning your skills. All right. Again, get those comments in. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Olivia's here with me. Yeah, just to follow up with that school bus accident, that was in Ohio, I guess. At least 20 injured, one killed in that accident. First day of school, too. It's just too bad. Yeah, seatbelts. I don't know if they had them or not, but it seems like that could be common sense.
I know, but I guess that's why they don't have it, because they like can't have common sense. And so then if they did have common sense, it would like hurt them.
I think that the thought was they don't go very fast, and there aren't really a lot of school bus accidents. Like, you don't hear about it often, but still, it seems like an easy fix.
I know, just one extra safety precaution.
Just something like that. I remember when I was riding a school bus as a kid, and it was like the hard seat, like in front of you. Like, so mm-hmm. even if you did have just a belt lap, an old...
Could stop you from...
Well, but still, you have no shoulder belt, then it's hard to... It doesn't stop you from hitting that seat, that hard seat that's in front of you.
Yeah, but it would offer extra safety.
Safety to not go
just
fall out
the window.
If they
slam on the brakes or whatever. Yeah.
I don't know. All right. We've got some Arizona news items that I want to hit on. We haven't done that in a couple days, so let's get you caught up on some things, some of my picks going on in our great state. We'll get that in just a second. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. If you got a comment, we always love hearing from you. Don't forget that it is a puppy or pet month at Zero Res Northern Arizona. And do you know the promo code, Olivia? Have you remembered? Last time you butchered it.
Puppy love.
Puppy love. It's so easy. All caps, puppy love. When you go to zeroresnorthernarizona.com, enter in puppy love, all capital letters, and you get 20% off on pet related services with promo code puppy love, including pet odor remover and spot treatments. They can take Zero Res. They'll be able to take care of those odors, those stains, things like that. Now it's different intensity for different situations. Of course, if you got 53 cats, totally different than like our dog. Not very often that she actually will have an accident in the house, but sometimes, she did a couple weeks ago. I brought it to the office building and had like that fake grass in there. And she likes to hold it in the morning. We have to keep telling her,
she's not very
lazy.
Smart.
No, she's just lazy. She's a smart dog.
Sometimes.
I think she's a real smart dog. She wasn't smart that morning because she just holding it in, right? And so I'm just dilly-dallying doing my things, right? And next thing I know, there's like a support column and that grass in there, green grass, right? She's peeing right there. So I may need to call Zero Res. I don't know if they do that artificial turf or whatever. I should ask them what they do. But do your carpets, your tile, your fabrics on your couches, your vehicles, things like that. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. They'll take care of you. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Enter promo code PUPPYLOVE, and they'll take care of you. 928-378-8888. All right, some top news picks here in Arizona. Because we've been hitting so much national stuff. Go ahead, and then I'll comment, maybe.
So we have one at a time.
That'll probably be the best, because I won't remember.
We have Prop 480 will be on the ballot in Flagstaff after NAZ Healthcare loses appeal against Flagstaff Community First opposition to rezone.
Okay, yeah, I remember seeing that the Northern Arizona Healthcare, they filed the lawsuit against Flagstaff Community First, which put... I'll let this rezone that the city council decided to do for that property out off of I-40, I'm sorry, off I-17 by Fort Tudhill, by the fairgrounds, kind of out that area, Flagstaff Airport, right? And Flagstaff Community First went out and got signatures to put this before the voters of Flagstaff. Northern Arizona Healthcare then took them to court. The judge, they said basically that they weren't forthright in how they described the rezone, basically something like that. And in legal terms, the judge says, no, I disagree with that. This thing can move forward and go on the ballot. They appealed it to the next level of court. And I think they met and or pled their case last Thursday. Judge heard it. And the judge just came out, I believe yesterday, and said, we're not hearing this. It's going to be on the ballot. So this will be on the ballot in Flagstaff, the city of Flagstaff, this November 20. It's an odd year election, so it's going to be an all mail in ballot.
Oh.
So the citizens get to decide a big rezoning case, which here's what's going to be interesting. You're going to see all the plastic signs out there saying vote yes, vote no. And there's going to be a bunch of money dumped into this thing.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah,
last time we saw this like this, it was like when Walmart was coming to town. And they wanted a second Walmart. I think it was early 2000s, something like that. And people battled it and. Yeah, there we go. Okay, what else you got?
We kind of talked about this earlier, but semi and motorhome accident blocks I-40 eastbound Monday morning. Motorhome driver killed.
I saw that. We did touch on that I-40 was completely blocked off eastbound. Apparently a motorhome and a semi collided, and then the semi was completely across I-40 and blocked traffic. Mark Howitt, who's going to be on the program tomorrow, emailed in, hey, always be prepared, because if you're sitting on the freeway, there's no way off these freeways, really. I mean, you're stuck there. Unless you plan on off-roading up the side of a hill. They're going to bust you. DPS is going to get you on something like that. It would be nice if we had more turnarounds, like when this happens. How do you get out of those situations when it's, like, you're going to be sitting there for hours?
Yeah, I think they detour people. Because, like, if you pass the certain point, then there's nothing you can really do most of the time.
Especially coming up from, like, Verde Valley or Phoenix.
And he's saying be prepared with, like, gas. But, I mean, you really just want to be prepared in general to, like, have stuff in your car that you could need.
You should have a bug out bag. You have a bag that has, like, a day's worth of food, like dehydrated food, a couple bottles of water, a space blanket, you know, those like foil looking blankets.
Mm-hmm. And a deck of cards.
A deck of cards would be good. But just a few things. It's just called the bug out bag. You have a couple little things to get by. I have supplies in each vehicle. I should actually, you know what? I'm reminded now. I'm going to go check our bug out bags in our vehicles, that if something happens and there's an emergency or breakdown, you got a little bit of stuff to get by. And having extra gas is always good, or extra charge in your EV if you're going that route. Going over a couple top Arizona news picks, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Any comments? We'd love to hear from you.
Two planes nearly collide over Sky Harbor Airport 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's
and
comforting.
46 close calls last month. Shortage of air traffic controllers grows along with safety concerns.
Bruce has hit on this. And is Bruce still out there? Should we call him in here? Bruce is getting his Tesla fixed.
He's still out there.
We poked out at the break.
That's okay, because if we call him in here, he'll never leave, because he won't get finished up there. So I don't mean that in a
mean
way.
That sounded mean.
I just mean Bruce, we want him to finish.
If you're listening, Bruce, we don't want you to leave, but
not what I meant.
If you come down, we know that it's an hour. We're going to do an hour or two, and then the Tesla guy that's helping him up there is going to be like, hey, where'd Bruce go? But we poked our head out because we heard thunder, and Bruce is still up there trying to get his Tesla repaired. But anyway, Bruce has talked about this is where he's going with this, about the shortage of air traffic controllers, and also concerns that he has and others have that they're also changing requirements.
They always do.
Yeah, but it's like, this is really important to have qualified people as air traffic controllers, but there's a labor shortage in this country. So just lower the standards as far as whatever education or experience or whatever, and start getting people in there? Or do they not have the staff? So, 2 weeks ago, you had that close call. And a close call is like, I was reading that article, it's like, they were within 100 feet, which seems like that's pretty far, but that's not very far.
With
think about it.
Those big wings and like.
Oh, it's not. And you make a quick turn or maneuver,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, you know, collision.
And if they don't have communication.
Yeah.
Really. I mean,
close call, 46 close calls just last month alone.
Which is so reassuring. Man, I know, and we're
booking some tickets right now for some trips we're taking. In 24, I'll tell you about that in time, but we got a few big trips that we've got planned as a family. It is unnerving, because you see the state of the infrastructure and things going on in our country. And it's like, we're getting to, instead of worrying about climate change and things that are so far out there that's just like, really, this is, and you can't even impact. Fix the things that we can fix that have an impact.
That's what we've been saying.
Yeah, I know. Like,
you just think common they would sense. Just would, but
it's just, yeah, it's like, and instead of helping countries like, and I don't even know if we're helping, sending gobs of money to Ukraine, and I keep picking on Ukraine, but that's the biggest example right now. All these ventures we do overseas where we dump literally trillions of dollars on these countries, and then they wind up getting to Afghanistan. How much money there? Iraq. And then it winds up just getting overrun and everything destroyed. It's like all the work we could do here to fix our country and to make our country great and to fix the bridges, make sure we have air traffic control, modern systems, computer systems, right? I mean, let's get to work on America.
That's what you would think.
That's what you would think. Instead, we're welding floodgates open to let the floodgates open for illegals down in south of Tucson. Good job. Keep it up. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. Keep those comments coming in. Good time to call Gettles High Desert Mechanical. Before you know it, it's going to turn cold out there. I know it seems like it already has cooled down a lot up here. It's been borderline pants. I think you're wearing pants today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Borderline pants weather.
Well, I go to school, so.
You can't wear the shorts.
Well, no.
The shorts are supposed to be like below your knees.
I've been about this for so long, but you can't find those anywhere.
You can't fight that fight. That's an unwinnable. That's like you fighting the length of shorts at your school is like fighting heat.
Or like fighting the government about
or fighting
like,
the government on spending.
Like, who wants to be an American citizen when our motto is practically like, we help other countries and not our own people?
Well, apparently, I want to be an American citizen. Don't bash
no,
America.
That's not what I mean. I mean, from the outside, that's what I was
no,
thinking.
But apparently they all like, want to no be one, they all want to be
I
American
know,
citizens.
Like,
they're flooding over.
Why would they want to when they're getting like
when they're getting free stuff over
somewhere
there?
Else. From America.
Yeah, I guess. But they still they come over. This is still the place of opportunity. It's the last. That's why we got to save this place because there's no plan B, you know. And even the people flooding through the literal floodgates, literal, it's not figurative, literal floodgates in southern Arizona, they know this is the best hope to come to. What was I talking about? Gettles.
So we need to not destroy it.
So get your HVAC system fixed by a great company right here in Arizona, northern Arizona. It's northern and central Arizona. Gettles High Desert Mechanical. They came up and fixed my heater here in Flagstaff. They did a great job. They'll take care of you, Verde Valley, Prescott area, anywhere in northern and central Arizona. Get the HVAC system checked now. Before you know it, it's winter and you're going to click down and you're going to be like, I should have done this earlier. If you already need a new one, maybe you need a custom design, a retrofitted unit, you got new construction, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, they provide full service for you. Here's the number, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-567-2200. That's Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-567-2200. Back in a minute.
You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Now, here's why. Most insurance companies, they use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try to route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop on by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading, and it'll save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass before, as I have, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on in. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Remember, always call Diamond Auto Glass first, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. I just realized I got a really busy show tomorrow, Olivia. I think Glenn Least from WT Wealth Management is going to stop by. I know we've got Mark Howitt coming in. I'm talking with Senator Wendy Rogers. We're going to get her in the next couple days as well to get a big update. I'll talk with Glenn Least tomorrow a little bit, and then we'll be recording an extra piece for Friday's show. So later in the show tomorrow, talk about the economy and a market update, things like that. So always appreciate that. If you want to talk with Glenn one-on-one, Glenn Least with WT Wealth Management, give him a call, 928-225-2474. Glenn's a guy that I think shares a lot of the same values that you have as well. And when you're looking at your portfolio, you want to be able to kind of connect with the person on the other side there. I don't give you financial advice, but I'll tell you what I do. And I tell you about people who at least, you know, they pick up the phone and they talk with you.
Yeah.
And that's always a really good thing. And get a second set of eyes on your portfolio. Call Glenn Least at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. Yeah, it looks stormy out there. That's good. We'll take it.
Yeah, I love the rain.
Yeah. How's school going? It's good. You're a few weeks into it now.
Mm-hmm. Finally got you that.
Finally, that's a long ways to go. If you're thinking it's as good as it's going to get, you got the whole year in front of you still.
And three more years after that.
Yeah. Learning's good, though. You got the phone. We didn't tell everybody about this. Finally, I had to go with one.
Public knowledge.
Do you want to share that? Yeah. Is it working good? No.
Yeah, it's good.
You're shaking your head. No. It's a limited phone. You got the basic features. It's good. Mm-hmm. Right? It's good. Yeah. She's shaking her head. Send a picture. You want to put a picture in the podcast, a selfie?
That's okay.
Did you get a selfie stick for the thing?
No, I didn't. I don't think I'd ever be able to be seen like that.
With a selfie stick.
Yeah.
Going up, doing your hair in the water like that guy in Hawaii. All right. If you missed my interview with Eli Crane, Congressman Crane, I think that's well worth listening to. And don't forget, we got video, Olivia. I want people to subscribe.
Oh, yeah. Watching me.
Yeah.
You can watch all of our reactions.
Look up Orbitz on YouTube. We'll be back tomorrow for a busy show. Take care. See you soon.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Hi, this is Jeff Horovitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity.